and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 222, the block party episode. The biggest things I've made this last month, which was, I hate to say, last couple of weeks have kind of been weeks of illness. It hasn't been a month of illness, but we all got a bug here. It's not fun. But I have made two blocks. One was for my local Modern Quilt Guild challenge, and it's very cool. I missed the meeting because I was sick, and it's so funny because I actually made this early. I'm like, I'm not going to procrastinate on this. I'm going to get it done. I'm the vice president. I have to be involved. I have to be on time. And then I got sick and couldn't come to the meeting. And then I have a block. My mom and I are doing the Patches of Blue Quilt Along. It's part of laundrybasketquilts.com. And it is a different kind of block for me. And it had its challenges, lots of little pieces, but I finished that. So you can see those on the show notes. I want to make this very short because this is a late episode. The thing I want to announce is that I am involved with a new project with the Quilt Alliance. You know, I've been a Quilt Alliance volunteer now for the last 2 years or so. And we have started doing a show called Story Bee, which is a web show that will be a members-only gig, except this first episode, I interview Victoria Finley Wolf. She's in her studio. I'm here. And we talk. And she's great. She really is. And she's working on this quilt. You should watch it. Go to the Quilt Alliance site, or I've put a link in the show notes, and watch this. There's still some technical difficulties we need to work through to make this a little smoother. But there's a quilt in her studio that she's working on. It's a commission, and it's gorgeous. So anyway, this is an exciting thing. You know I love the Quilt Alliance. You know I think you should become a member. And now we have this special thing that we're going to be offering to members. This, you know, members-only show. And I'm going to be doing more interviews over the next couple months. I'm going to be interviewing Denise Schmidt. I'm going to be interviewing Julie Silber, who is an amazing quilt historian, another great quilt historian, Marin Hinson, who is a big deal at the International Quilt Study Center. My hope is to interview Bonnie Hunter, who I love, and who, by the way, is doing a giveaway of Margaret Goes Modern right now, if you happen to listen to this on February 16th. I'm not sure when she is. I'm going to check really quickly as I'm talking to you when how long this is going to go for. Let's see. Drawing. Okay, she's going to Virginia, so it sounds like next week is when she's going to do it. So go over to her Quiltville Bonnie. My guess is she's got this up and running on her Facebook page too. And if you want a copy of Margaret Goes Modern, speaking of which, I got two winners for the giveaway, my giveaway for Margaret Goes Modern. So yay to Carmeet and Margaret K. Very excited to send these wonderful people copies of Margaret. Thank you if you have bought Margaret already. Thank you if you have reviewed it in a loving and kind way. So far, everyone has been loving and kind, so I appreciate that. If you've read it and liked it, please do leave a review on Goodreads and or Amazon, because it helps. So it gets the word out. So, okay, I want to keep this really, really brief, and I think that's the main thing I wanted to let you know about is the Quilt Alliance Story Bee. Go to the site or go to my show notes. Click Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Wednesday, January 31st, the last day of January. And you know what's sad? I feel like I made some New Year's resolutions, which I usually don't. I usually make one, which is to stand up straighter, and that never lasts. But I feel like this year I actually made a couple, and I don't remember what they were. It's not just that I'm not kept them, but I have forgotten them, and that's probably for the best. But it's the end of January, and you're like, has my life changed? Have I made anything drastically different where I'm seeing results? It's like, no, it's kind of the same old life. It's got its good parts. It's got its bad parts. You know, I'm at this age, which it as of now is 53. I'll be 54 in May, where, you know, I feel a lot more self-acceptance. And that worries me because sometimes I think there are things about myself I really should not accept. But there are things I feel like just aren't going to change. And there are other things that are interesting to me because I finally recognize them. I think about this. I go to not a humongous church. I would say on any given Sunday, there might be a couple hundred people there. That's probably right, 150, 200 people, which for me really does seem like a lot of people. And I have a hard time kind of paying attention to what's going on because I'm so busy looking at all the people and not judging them per se, but just being curious about them. And okay, sometimes judging, like, really, that dress at church? You know, and my mind is just kind of, it's a lot of stimulus. It really is for me. And I've never actually recognized that about myself, that I don't like big gatherings because I find them kind of overwhelming. There's so much to look at. There's so much to think about. And which doesn't mean that so I will never go to church again. and as an introvert, this is the problem. As an introvert, I don't want to go to a smaller church because then people will talk to you. So yeah, I don't know what to do. But I finally realized that in another context where I was in a fairly large group where I didn't know a lot of people and how hard it was to settle down and focus on the matter at hand, because I just was so aware of other people, looking at other people. And one of the things that's always strange to me, like when you go to the theater, you're surrounded by people you don't know, and many of those people wear scent. And I'm not allergic to scent, and I like scent, I like perfume, but it's all unfamiliar perfumes for the most part, and scents, or it's just not, you know, when he wears aftershave, it's, you know, it's Old Spice, you know, we're very sophisticated people around here. I like Old Spice, and that's a familiar scent to me. And so it's an odd thing to be in a big crowd and all these different smells. And imagine if I were a dog, I'd go nuts. But yeah, so, and I do find all that just overwhelming and strange. So that's something that I've become aware of and probably will never be able to change. I don't think I'm going to be able to change the fact that I'm an introvert. I will say that sometimes, you know, particularly now that introversion is kind of a thing that is recognized, sometimes I feel like maybe I lean into it a little too much. Like, it's a great excuse for not going out on a Friday night. I am going out this Friday night to McIntyre Books over in Pittsburgh, North Carolina. They're having a big kids' book festival. And I'm actually kind of proud of myself. I was invited to the dinner. The festival itself is really Saturday. But the bookstore is putting on a dinner, a buffet for the writers who are going to be involved in on Friday night. And typically I've been like, no way. It's actually kind of a long drive from my house. It's about a half an hour anyway. But I just thought, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to be social. And I will know some people there and a couple people I'd love to catch up with. But yeah, I'm sure by Friday afternoon I will be regretting the decision to say yes. But anyway, how are you? It's winter. It is. And you know, I don't complain about the weather. And in fact, the sky is blue outside, but it's been a little chilly. And I take Travis, the quilt dog, for a walk, you know, every morning after I drop off Will, the quilt boy, at school. And it's been a little, these 20 degree mornings are a little bit rough. I do wear long underwear, silk long underwear, as a matter of fact. It's quite nice. All right. So what have I been up to quilt-wise? Well, I just made, I'm very proud of myself, we have a challenge block for my guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. That's a new thing that we're trying. I say we now because, you know, I am Veep. Although trying this new thing is not my idea, but doing a monthly challenge, which I think is a great idea. And our first challenge is this block that was a modern quilt on the Modern Quilt Guild website. And I can't remember what it's called. It's really cute. I'll put a picture up. And our meeting isn't for a couple of weeks, but I was putting off finishing the quilting on Sweepex. I don't have very much to do at all, but I do have to search out some red fabric, which is kind of the bane of my existence. Red fabric. I mean, I love red fabric. I love red. But, you know, it's like every red. I was talking last time about black fabric. Red's the same way. There are 10 trillion shades of red. Now, it doesn't really matter. And I used different shades of red on this quilt because it's improvised and it just started out as, you know, playing around. And now I need some red fabric from somewhere for the binding. And I may run over to Scrap Exchange today because sometimes you get lucky. One time I did find actually a couple yards of red fabric over there. So I might go and look and see if I can find something. So yeah, the good news about this red fabric is that it doesn't have to match anything exactly. The bad news is I don't have any red fabric. And, you know, now we've got, I don't have Thimble Pleasures. So I'm like, well, do I want to make some time to, you know, go to Carrie Quilting Company or go, there's another quilt store in Raleigh. Oh, now I can't remember what it's called. And it's a smaller store than Carrie Quilt Company. And I always get lost going there. It's back like in this industrial park area. And I think it's called Wish Upon a Quilt. So I could do one of those trips or I could order and, you know, and but when I order fabric online, sometimes I feel like, well, I should, you know, it's a five, like for Carrie Quilting Company, it's a good deal. It's a $5 flat rate. And they're good about getting stuff out right away. But then if I'm spending, you know, $5 to ship, then I think, what else should I get? And so something that really should just cost $5, you know, if I went to the store, half a yard of red fabric would cost $5. But if I order it, then, you know, because I'm going to add stuff onto that order, it you know, becomes a $20 thing. And, you know, and that just starts adding up after a while. So anyway, I will spend a long time going back and forth about this red fabric. And in the meantime, I'm like, well, what's the use of finishing quilting the quilt if I don't have the binding? You know, my mind is, you know, is really not a safe neighborhood sometimes. So that's going on. But I am really close to finishing it, and it'll be nice to have it done. And I actually would like to finish it before the next guild meeting. Otherwise, I have in front of me the pile of fabrics that I'm going to use to make the first block in the Edita. No one has, by the way, told me how to pronounce that name. But I'm assuming that you know Edyta sitar. I know that you know who I'm talking about. I just want to say Edita. Then I want to say Adidas. And then I want to say Adidas, which is how the Germans say Adidas. And then I'm just off again in this crazy mind of mine. But from her Patches of Blue book, which is a lovely book. It's such a nice book. We are making, for the first block, it's a sampler quilt, the Frost block. And my mom and I are doing this together. My mom bought me the book. And she just posted last night. She's got the block cut up. There's a lot of cutting. It's a very detailed, I was going to say little block. I don't think it's a little block. I'm not sure what the block ends up being. But, yeah, it's just a whole lot of cutting. And a whole lot of little pieces. This is good for me. I mean, my mom asked me a while back, like, was I going to ever make patchwork quilts again? I was like, well, I'm sure I am, you know, because I make all the quilts. I like all the quilts. But the fact is, I have been doing more modern stuff or doing my own designs. And so to sit down with the book and to look at a block, that, so it's really made out of 4 patches and half square triangles. And, you know, I know how to make these things, but it's small pieces. It's a lot of small pieces. So it's a little daunting, which is good for me. It's good for me to do this. I am going to have to kind of be precise here if it's going to work. So I'm thinking I may work on it a little bit this afternoon. But I was really happy because, you know, I talked in the last episode about making this haul. At my last guild meeting, someone had brought in all this fabric. Maybe Hillary, because Hillary's the one who's in charge of disposing of the fabric, which I think means taking it to scrap exchange. But in this block, the Frost block that I'm doing for the sampler quilt, you have blue fabrics, and then you have just what are called light fabrics. And so these are, so I pulled out light fabrics, which are really these prints that are mostly, say, creams with maybe a light brown print, that kind of thing. Well, I was looking in my box. I am working right now, by the way, on trying to do a little bit of organization. And I have a larger sort of file box where I'm keeping really big pieces of fabric that I have. And I've found one of the pieces of fabric that I was talking about last time that I plan to use for backs that I think could be four yards, 10 yards. It's a huge hunk of fabric. And it's exactly the right color. And so I'm really, really excited to have this fabric to work with. And then I found some fabric that I had gotten for when I was trying to find fabric background. I was trying to find background fabric for my paper birds in the air quilt. And at first I thought I was going to do something with cream. And then I ended up going with a blue tight print fabric. So anyway, I have lots of that. So I'm very excited. So this is going to be a very kind of scrappy block as far as I can tell. Yeah, but I just felt like, oh, I've got all this light colored fabric here because I, you know, someone very kindly donated all this fabric to the guild. So I'm happy about that. I am, you know, and here's something perhaps you can help me with. So I am trying to do some fabric organization. And I, as you may know, I don't have a huge stash. I'm not a big stash person. I love seeing people's stashes, and I think it's neat when someone shows you a picture of their studio or their quilting space, and it kind of looks like a small fabric store, but I don't have fabric like that. So I have my cubby holes, which is, I'm looking over here now, it's 18 cubby holes, and that's where I keep the, you know, yardage to the extent I have it now. Now I do have this file box with the big yardage. And I started going through, and what I have also is a basket on top of the cubby that is filled with plastic bags, mostly the kinds you get that hold, you know, when you order from Fat Quarter Shop, for instance, and they send you fabric in these very nice upscale baggies, kind of Ziploc. A lot of those. And that's where I've put a lot of large scraps. And those, the problem with that, and I try to keep the scraps either, you know, for instance, I'm looking at it right now, and I have a bunch of scraps from Krista Watson's latest collection. So they're all, and although they're different colors, they're all of a collection. So, and that's really unusual for me to have a bunch of scraps from the same collection, but they're all together. But otherwise, I do it in colorways. But it does mean that every time I kind of am looking for something in a particular color, I have to go through this basket and all through all these different baggies. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So the other night while I was watching Victoria on PBS Online, are you watching this? I really like it. I had to get through the first couple episodes because we start with a very young Queen Victoria and love her and the actress, but you know, she's kind of, I don't know if she's a teenager, but if she's out of her teens, she's just in her early 20s when she becomes queen. And I mean, she's still, there's a big thing, she's still playing with dolls, okay? And she's very, because she grows up, and there, she is, I think, like, because none of her uncles have children, she's next in line to the throne. Maybe the king is William. Is that Mad King William? Is that right? Was he the Mad, or George? Whoever. Anyway, whoever's king is her uncle, and I think she is like wildly protected as a child. I may be getting some of this wrong. Don't go read Wikipedia if you really have to know. But she's wildly protected as a child because there are people who would be very happy to have her dead so that they could, then their family lines would step into the, you know, the line of succession. Anyway, watching Victoria, she's very young, so you have a couple episodes where you're just going, oh, haven't I done enough time with teenagers? I just can't deal with an adolescent right now watching TV, but it's still a really good show. And past those first two episodes for me, then it gets really good. So I'm watching that, and I've got this, you can't see it because we're on the radio, but it's a, just a basket. I think it's a little cloth basket. I would call it 18 inches long and let's say 8 inches wide, something around like that. I got a Target. It's very cute. It is coral. I like coral. And so I started folding more fat quarter size scraps into nice little handkerchief, like pocket handkerchief thing. I don't, that's not even right. I should take pictures. I'll take pictures. Anyway, and so it looked very nice, and so I've got a lot of solid scraps, of course, but I have other things as well, and it's kind of fun because I forget that every once in a while, either I'll pick up stuff at scrap tables, at guild meeting, or, you know, you go into a quilt shop, and like Carrie Quilting Company has these fat quarters, or even like fat eights, and they don't cost very much. And so you pick up a couple. And so I now have this neat little box. It's not all the way filled up, but I feel like if I got a couple more of these very nice cloth containers, storage containers, I could have several of them out on my drop leaf table where I keep a lot of my sewing stuff, but don't actually sew. And it's nice because I can just look in it and go, oh, look. I have this, I have that. And as I've been going through it, again, I'm finding fabrics that I forgot I had that are really pretty. So one day I'll get organized. One day I'm going to get my attic cleaned. And it's going to be a big day, and we're going to have a party, and you are all invited. So I think that's my quilty life right now, is looking at the frost block and being scared to start, but knowing that I have to, and I promised my mom. And looking at the sweep exit quilt, finishing thinking about the red fabric issue. Again, maybe you go over to Scrap Exchange this afternoon and see if I can find something. Looking at my melon patch blocks up on the wall and really, really wanting to work on that as well. So much to do. And in fact, I feel like there's so much to do and therefore I am frozen. But I'm not really frozen. And the other thing is at our Quilt Guild meeting on the 12th, we're going to do an exercise where you can bring a quilt top in. We're going to talk about how do you decide how to quilt a quilt top. And I have several quilt tops I could bring in for that discussion, and I'm not sure which one I'm going to bring in. Maybe Stars Upon Stars, or maybe the Graphic Stars quilt from last year, the quilt top that I've yet to quilt. And that is a smaller quilt. And now I'm thinking, oh yeah, one of the reasons I haven't quilted it is because I need to enlarge it. Now the problem with enlarging it is, and this takes us full circle, is I would need to get some more red fabric. Oh gosh. I'm going to have to go to Carrie Quilting Company pretty soon here and match up some reds. I'll tell you what, if I don't find a good red for the binding for Sweep Exit, I may in the next couple of days pop over to Carrie Quilting Company, and I could bring the Graphic Star quilt, because that I think whatever red it is, it's either American made brand or Kona. I think a year ago I was already off the Kona. I quit that Kona thing, so it's probably a shade of American made brand, and maybe I'll go look for that, because yeah, I keep thinking, why haven't it's a small quilt, but I want to make it bigger. So okay, now I'm just thinking out loud to you, but you know what, that's what I'm pretty much always doing here at this podcast. Oh, I know, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about, is I got the second issue of Curated Quilts. This is the magazine that is edited by Amy Ellis and somebody else. I'm not sure who else. It's a beautiful magazine. It's one of these expensive ones. It's $18 per issue. And this is the second issue, and it always has a theme. This theme is Log Cabin. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get it or not. It is beautiful. It's a really well-made magazine. The paper is really nice. If you have looked at or gotten Quilt Folk, it's a similar idea, just in terms of beautiful photography. Although the Quilt Folk photography, I don't know, I'm comparing the two things. The design is very nice. The visuals are very nice. Quilt Folk has a ton of photography, and it's really beautiful photography. Curated Quilts is not a book, is not a magazine about pretty pictures of quilts, but there are many amazing, beautiful visual elements. It's just beautifully done. But with the first issue, I think that the theme was linear or lines or something like that. And what they do is they curate quilts. They put out a notice, you know, for submission, say this is what, you know, our next theme is going to be, some pictures of your quilts that would fit in with the theme. And the problem for me with the first issue is that so many of the quilts that were showcased, they were beautiful quilts. I didn't have any objections to the quilts they chose. I thought they were all marvelous, but there was so much visual similarity that I didn't, I wasn't blown away. At some point, I'm like, oh, I'm really tired of looking at quilts like this. This issue, the theme was log cabin, and I don't know if you've seen the cover. It's a great log cabin quilt, and I have to say, I love modern log cabins 100 times more than I love traditional log cabin quilts, which have, there are many varieties of. And I know a lot of people, they're all about the log cabin quilt, the traditional log cabin. I know for some people, that's their favorite traditional quilt. I think for me, and this is my own visual quirk or bug, whatever, I actually don't love geometric patterns where there's actually, there where there's, oh, what would you call it? A kind of 3D effect. It's like I've never liked the baby blocks quilt. There's something that's a little gimmicky about it. And also that with the traditional log cabin quilt, there's just an extreme light and dark thing going on. And so, with the traditional one, it's sort of like half of the block oftentimes is done in very dark fabrics and the other half is done in very light. And for some reason, it just, I don't love that effect. And so it's a really personal thing. So I'm not saying, oh, they're just horrible quilts. I don't think that. I know it's just something about my own personal tastes and quirks. Whereas the modern log cabins, there's just so much funky goodness about them and some really playful, cool stuff. And so I loved the quilts in this issue. I thought there was just so much fun stuff to look at. And, there's several articles. I would love the articles. As always, I know I feel like I'm the only person, only quilter in America who really cares about that. It's probably not true. I'm sure many of you, if you were given a really good quilt article to read, really well written, what have you, you would read it and you would be into it. And I wish there was more of that. Even, in the quilt folk, there are some of their profiles are kind of short. Some of them go into more depth, and those I really enjoy. They're all mostly personality profiles, and that's fine. I like reading about people. So I wish, so Mary Fonz is, who is now, what is she? She's an editorial director for Quilt Folks, but she, she writes a lot about quilt history, and so she has an article in here on the log cabin, and it's a pretty short article, and my guess is she could have written a lot more. I'm looking at it now, and I'm thinking it looks to me like it could be like 750 words, maybe a little longer. So it's a pretty short piece, and so I'm like, why not 2,000 words? Is it the thought that people don't want to read 2,000 words? But there's maybe, but that's still my complaint. It's a beautiful magazine. It has patterns. I don't really, I'm not looking for patterns. The pattern, I think they're nice patterns, and they're just a few. But it's kind of, I sort of feel a little bit like this isn't what I'm coming to a quilt magazine like this for. But they're not bad patterns at all. They're very cute patterns, actually. So anyway, I did like this issue. I would love articles to go more in depth, but that's what I'm always saying. And I'm really pleased, again, with the Modern Patchwork magazine that, it's like they'll let you, I feel like, I'm a big Abby Glassenberg fan in terms of her writing. And I love her newsletter. It's like one of my favorite newsletters because she has such good links. Yeah, I just want more substance. I love the visual stuff, but I want more words as well. And maybe this is early day for curated quilts. I hope it has the money it needs to keep going. That's the only thing. And I'll tell you what, I very likely will get issue 3. And it's expensive. It's $18. But I think it's the kind of magazine you would hold on to and go back to and look at. So I think that's really, and there are no ads, so I feel like fair enough. So I hope they stay in business. It's hard, but because it's going to be very subscription based, but at the same time, with a magazine like this, and I have to say, Quilt Folk too, You don't save that much on a subscription. I think with this maybe $4. You'll save $4 over the course of a year, and it's a little nervous making. It's like will this last a year? I hope so, but I think I'll just keep buying single copies. Anyway, just wanted to give you the latest on curated quilts. If you love modern quilts, it might be a magazine you really enjoy. It's an expense, but I haven't been going out to lunch much lately. I think I need to probably get a little bit more social here. But anyway, I typically, go out to lunch once a week, so, and probably spend close to $20. So this is just lunch. This is my lunch this week. So, okay. I'm sure I will talk to you again soon. So, with that, I bid you adieu. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's actually now Thursday. It's just the next day. It's 24 hours since I last did a quilt diary, but I have to update you on my search for red fabric. After I spoke with you, I went to Scrap Exchange. I found a piece of red fabric, and I knew it was borderline. I really did, but it was like 3 yards for $5. So my thought was, that's kind of a bargain. So even if this red fabric is not the right shade of red fabric, I can use it for a quilt back. I can use it, I mean, it's cotton. It seems like it's got a pretty nice, whatever you call it, thread count, nap. I don't know how to talk about fabric. I probably never will. But it's a nice piece of fabric. I'm like, invest $5. I did. It's wrong. And, once I took it outside, the Scrap Exchange, actually, Scrap Exchange now has expanded, but in its first building, there's not a lot of light. There's not a lot of natural light. So it was kind of hard to tell. Got home. Actually, I got to the car. I got outside. I'm like, I think this is too orange-red. It's right on the line, but it was clearly kind of verging into tomato-red territory. So I got it home, and I already knew what the answer was. No, it didn't work. But it's a nice piece of fabric. There will be use of it. $5, 3 yards. Come on. Come on, ladies. We can live with that. So then, and I couldn't believe this because I was telling the man about it last night, my search for red fabric, how hard that is, as we discussed yesterday. I think we discussed, sorry, you don't know it, but I just had to pause there. I'm back. Anyway, I think we talked yesterday. Red is like black, is like navy blue. Navy blue may be the easiest of those, but red, how many reds are there? I can tell you, 964. So many reds. I'm making that up, but probably close. So I was thinking about, talking to the man about it, saying I was hoping I could find this red fabric, some red fabric. Didn't find it, but the whole problem with ordering red fabric, besides just ordering a yard and paying $5 shipping and all that stuff I talked about, is also the 962 shades of red. I mean, I think I would probably be safe with American-made brand red or dark red. That would be good. Still, it's a risk, and I've had an experience a few years ago where I think I ordered 5 different reds before I got the right one. So I had this thought. There's a new store in town, and it's near Scrap Exchange. It's called Freeman's Creative. I may have talked about this in one of the recent previous episodes. This young woman has opened up this store, and it's got yarn and a little bit of fabric, not a ton, not much at all. I don't, maybe 10 feet wide wall. That doesn't make sense. 10 foot wide wall, but not a lot. If you counted bolts, more than 50. Who can count bolts? I can't count bolts. Why am I trying to count bolts? But not a huge selection. Very cute. She's got great taste. But I seem to remember there were solids in that collection. I thought, I need to go over there. I do have a local fabric shop. Not a local quilt shop, but a local fabric shop and a local yarn shop
I bought yarn there. Very nice. Good prices. So I was so excited. So after lunch today, before lunch today, I actually pretty much finished my revision of Stars Upon Stars. There are a few more things I have to do, but it's actually the place where I could give it to the man and a couple friends of mine who edit for me, who read for me and give me feedback. And I could do that. So that's very exciting because I need to get on to the next Sam the Man. But after lunch, I went over to Freeman's Creative, so excited. No red. She had solids, no red. She's expanding her fabric line, and she was quite apologetic. And I think she's just doing a fantastic job. No need to apologize to me, but that was disappointing. So what I did then, as I said, the scrap exchange is expanding. It's in this old shopping center. Oh, the architecture of this place is horrible. I think it was built like late 70s, early 80s. Just could not be uglier. Could not. I mean, it's a crime how ugly the shopping center is. And it's emptied out over the years as that. The neighborhood it's in is called Lakewood, which used to be a thriving middle class black neighborhood. But it may have been a little bit mixed. But there used to be like a park with a merry-go-round. And there's some stuff that I've read about. It sounds like back in the day, like maybe in the 30s and 40s, it was quite a place to live. And then it sort of emptied out, and it's ebbed and flowed. Now I hate to for the people who are living there now, pretty inexpensively, it's about to flow again. There, and partly the shopping center, a restaurateur has moved in. There's a coffee shop across the street. There's some stuff going on, and that's going to bring up the housing prices again. That's a whole nother discussion, affordable housing. And we're not talking about that here. We're talking about fabric and quilts. Anywho, so ugliest shopping center in the world, but new places are moving in. And it's anchored by the scrap exchange, so it's kind of becoming this artsy-fartsy little place, which is great. And I'm so happy the scrap exchange is there, so happy that Freeman's Creative is there. Anyway, scrap exchange, expanding. I go to one of the expanded spaces they've just moved into. Because I was trying to remember, I've been in there once before, and I felt like there was some knitting stuff. It's like you can tell they're still working it all out. What goes where? And this is a separate building where they have the fabric. But I thought, didn't I see a little bit of, notional thingamajiggies over there last time? Yes, that is actually not only how I speak, but how I think. And I thought I would check it out. No knitting stuff, nothing of that nature at all. A lot of baskets. People have a lot of baskets to donate. Man, a lot of baskets. So, a lot of baskets, no fabric. And then I thought, you know what? What about shirts or skirts? Because they have clothes in this part. They've really expanded on their clothes. And I had, this time I actually brought with me a scrap from the quilt, of the red from the quilt. And this quilt, by the way, utilizes more than one red. Because I just was messing around. I'm looking at it right now and I see kind of a dark blood red, a more not tomato red, but maybe a very true red. And so it's got a lot, it's not a, it's not a purebred quilt by any means. It's got a lot of different gene pools it's drawing from. I brought a scrap with, I think, the darkest red in it. And I started looking around, and I looked at the men's shirts, and I looked at women's shirts, and then I was looking at women's skirts. And I found a skirt. It's not an exact match with my scrap, but it was in the same family, right? And this part of the scrap exchange actually has a big window in the front. So I took the skirt up, and I took my scrap. And again, not matching, but pretty close. And the skirt cost $4. And I thought, I'll use it. I won't wear it. I don't even know what size it is. It's a cute skirt. Probably knee length. It's big enough for me to think it's got enough fabric for me to do a binding. This is not a humongous quilt. I don't know how big the quilt is. It's not humongous, though. So I bought it. And I brought it home. And it works great. So I'm very excited. Because it just saves me a lot of time and money to have this skirt, which is, okay, is it cotton? It is 96% cotton and 4% spandex, and I'm just going to work with that. I feel that's workable. I do. If it's not, it will be a lesson learned.
I will wash it along with the other red fabric I bought yesterday and dry it and iron it, and I think it's going to work beautifully. And if it doesn't, I'll drive over to Carey Quilting Company in the next week or so. But I think it's going to work, and I will let you know. But that is the saga of the red fabric as it continues ad nauseum, ad infinitum, I think is actually probably what I was going for. But ad nauseum also works. All right, that's it for now. More soon. Quilt Diary Day 3. It is Friday, February 16th. It's a lovely spring-like day. And you know I don't complain about the weather, but tomorrow's going to be really crappy. So we're enjoying this. The man and I are about to go out to lunch. We both took the day off, mostly to get things in order. I have been working very hard on some writing projects, including finally finishing the second draft of Stars Upon Stars and working on a first draft of the next Sam the Man book. And when I'm hard at work like that, it's fun. I love it, but I end up not replying to emails that I need to reply to and not, I don't know, you know, cleaning out the silverware drawer, whatever, the things that you gotta attend to sooner or later. So today's been one of those days, including, and my jobs today have included, getting this podcast ready to post. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, perhaps Sunday, but we're working on it. We've been sick, the whole family. We got the crud. Well, we got different things. Will, of course, is always the one who brings things into the house and then suffers for 48 hours at the most and is fine. I get it from Will, and then I suffer for weeks and weeks. We're calling what Will and I had the crud. It seems to be going around, but I don't think it was the flu. If it was the flu, it was a very muted strain of the flu. We both had our flu shots, but as you know, this year's flu shot was not the most effective flu shot they ever came up with. So had the flu shots. I don't think it was the flu, but we both felt really bad. The man, always stoic, never sick, he finally even succumbed, and it was horrible, and I don't even want to go into the details. I don't want to violate his privacy, but let's say it was not fun at all. And I feel like although he's been back to work, I think definitely went back on Monday. So he's been back at work, but I feel like he's just coming out of it now. So it's been kind of crazy. It's always weird when everyone's sick. Now Jack is off at college and he's fine. But he doesn't get, neither of my children actually get sick all that much. And Jack probably rarest of all. I've always had this theory that, you know, he has nut allergies, tree nut allergies, which means that his immune system kind of overreacts when it senses it's being attacked by certain things. You know, so I've always wondered if maybe he's just got an overactive immune system and so it's hard for a bug to get past it. Don't know. It would be a plus in an otherwise not fun thing, i.e. nut allergies. So I am mostly here just to say goodbye, to say that I finished the block for the quilt along that my mom and I are doing, and you can find a picture in the show notes. It's a pretty block. As I was talking about in an earlier quilt diary, just so much not the kind of thing that I've been doing lately. And what's hilarious is that most of my points, most of the small points, are completely blunted. I have to say, the way the instructions of had us do the half square triangles, well, some of the units, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it differently. Because even when I realized, wow, my points are getting blunted, when I tried to keep that from happening, which I know how to do, and of course, me being me, I can't explain it to you, but I remember when my friend Jay, Art Quilt Maker Jay, and I were working, she was helping me do a sampler, and she taught me that, so when you're, if you're doing a flying geese unit or whatever, that when you're sewing things together at the top of your triangle, you need to keep your line that's bisecting this the triangle, if that makes sense. You need to keep it above the cross and the X. So I'm sure that makes absolutely no sense the way that I'm saying it. But if you were to take a half square triangle unit, turn it over, and you would look up in the corner, and the perpendicular lines make an X. And so if you put that unit on point, and then you're sewing it to another piece, again, you want that the bisecting line, the seam line, to run across the cross of the X. And the way that the instructions had us make these units, there was no way to do that. There was no way. And so it was very weird. So, you know, but I really wanted to follow instructions. Because even when I was looking at instructions, like, I would rather do this a different way that I think I will be more successful with. You know, I thought, no, that's how you always get in trouble. You decide you're going to do it your way, and it doesn't work out. I've just forced myself to actually follow instructions. It still didn't work out. So, but you know what? It's not that I don't care, because I think that's disrespectful not to care, because, you know, there's an aspect of precision in quilt making that I think is kind of cool. It doesn't quite work for me. And, you know, but so my feeling is I'm going to make a big old quilt and I'm going to put it on the bed in my house, and that's enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. And I'll tell you, this is some 2018 kind of thoughts. I am also working on this melon patch quilt. I haven't done much on it because I've been sick, and also wanted to finish this block for the quilt along. And you notice I'm like avoiding saying Aditya Sitar, because I don't think that's how you say it. If anyone wants to send me the phonetic pronunciation of her name, but Laundry Basket Quilts lady, you can say that. She has just posted the new block. I want to keep up with this, because I'm so bad at keeping up with this, but my mom's doing it, and, you know, I want to do a good job, at least with, you know, staying in the game. So finishing that block became a priority. But last night, after I finished the block, because the new block is out for the Patches of Blue quilt along, is what it's called. I linked to it in the show notes. I know, I'm really worthless. But I thought, hey, I'm just going to play around with my melon patch, because I actually bought a small rotary cutter. You know, let's see what millimeter it is. It's an Olaf. It is, it's a 28 millimeter. For cutting out curves, it's just easier. And so I was excited. I'm like, I'm going to play with that. I'm going to do some more of these blocks. And I did, and I realized they're really these, because I'm just making it up as I go along. I'm just one block at a time. I made some templates. I'm not really using them. So it's fun, but it is imperfect. Each block has its own share of imperfections. And I thought, you know, this is an argument. I feel like they're good arguments for making quilts to enter into shows. And I do think it pushes you. It gives you goals. I love having goals. I'm kind of competitive, so that's fun. But it's also stressful. And so that's what I think I've already said this. The interesting thing, I was disappointed that neither of my quilts that I submitted to QuiltCon got in. But then I was kind of relieved. After I got over that immediate disappointment, there was relief to it, because it's like, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to redo anything. I don't have to worry about, will they get so wrinkled? Although what I learned last year from QuiltCon is they steam your quilts when they come in, so when they hang them, so that's cool. And so I'm working on this quilt. I'm like, I'm just having fun with it. I just want to have fun. I don't think I want to worry about perfection. I'm not saying I won't enter quilts into QuiltCon, you know, next year or this coming, at the end of this year. I'm sure I will, but I just kind of want to enjoy myself, and I don't need the stress of perfection in any part of my life. And so I was looking at stuff last night. I'm like, you know, all these petals I'm making for the melon quilt, they're really, no two are alike. It's like little snowflake blocks that I'm making here. I'm like, but I don't care. I really don't. I just want to be free, man. Okay, I'm going to finish up here, because I hear the man just ran up to take a shower. We're about to go out to lunch, and I hear that the shower has stopped, and because he really doesn't have to do anything to his hair except, you know, slick it back, let it dry. He'll be down pretty soon. So anyway, I hope that you are having a good February. It's just winter. It's winter. People have the flu. Let's get through this. Let's get to March. And in fact, probably the next time I talk to you, it will be March. So until that time, let's just all have fun. Not so much perfection, a little bit more fun. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.